But you referred to an underground newspaper.
So when I was in journalism class in my junior year, we had a teacher, Mrs. Aldridge, who was a fine lady and did an okay job. And she did not like my approach to how I was doing something. I can't remember now what it was. And I called her a bitch. Well, you just don't do that in 1970. And so I immediately was sent to the office, the principal's office. And I, during that hour every year, every day, I spent it in the office. They finally gave me things to do and stuff. Eventually, I made announcements on the
intercom system.
But I also started the idea of, why can't I have my own newspaper? So I figured it out, recruited some other people to join me in this effort, and we published two or three editions when my junior year, and then I published it for about eight editions in my senior year.
Well, take me through the mechanics. You published it. Who printed it? How did...
I found a printer in Muskogee, a job printer, who I'm not sure how I found him. I went in and just started telling him what I was doing, and he basically charged me the cost of the ink and the paper. And so I raised enough money, you know, from my friends and others that I could, you know, pay that. But he didn't charge me the labor or anything else. And he'd print about 200 copies of it. Yeah. And so he printed it. And then I would stay up late in the night. A couple of the people helped me. There was one man, one student that I particularly was proud of. His name was Izelmo Stevens. And Izelmo was from... He was from the south side of Muskogee, which was a tough part of town. And he wanted to write a column about his views. And he was kind of you know, this is the 70s, so we're reading about radicals and various things. So he was the closest thing to a Black Panther that you would see in Muskogee. And so Izelmo wanted to write a column. And so I told him, that's great. Tell me what you think you're going to write about. And I said, okay, I've got a column title for that. And he said, what's that? And I said, Student as a Nigger. He looked at me and he says, that's perfect.
Wow.
Well, Izelmo went to Langston and then to Howard University, got his law degree, changed his name to Opio Turie, and before he passed away, he was the chairman of the State Senate Judiciary Committee, elected out of Oklahoma City.
Wow. Yes, 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 yes. What was the name of your underground paper?
The Free Press. And, of course, my former journalism teacher was livid over the fact that I was even able to distribute it on campus.
But you continued to do that.
Oh, I did.
Nobody said you couldn't do it.
No, at the end, we had overstepped our boundaries. And the Muskogee Ministerial Alliance had jumped in and asked the school to shut it down. And there was another teacher there, Mr. Parsons, who was inclined to be nice to me, and he selected every year the intern from Muskogee High School that would go to work at the Muskogee Phoenix. So he came to me and he said, you're going to have to shut down your newspaper. You can fight it, or you can go to work as an intern at the Muskogee Phoenix. And I saw an opportunity, and it was a pain in the ass to get it done. And so that's what started my real journalism career by the Muskogee Phoenix.
Wow. Do you have any copies of your underground paper?
I think I may have a piece of one.
Do you remember a particular... You were the editor of it. You wrote maybe the lead opinion.
Remember? I did.
Remember any angles you took up? Any issues? Because it wasn't all black and
No. His Elmo's column was kind of unique. I mean, it was a variety. It was things about things happening at the school and things like that. But we talked about integration. We talked about the school administration. No, it was a very local journalism. There were occasionally a few national topics that we would. I would get to the point where I just needed to fill some of the space, and so I would pick some things up, and you know that allowed me to look around at newspapers that now are no longer around. But you know, the Village Voice in New York City, I think it was the LA Free Press, you know, and so I started reading some of those.
You must have had adults and others who admired what you were doing, and that was really admirable.
There were. And I think that, you know, whether it was the printer who gave me a cut deal on it, or whether it was Mr. Parsons who was watching and gave me an exit row so I could go continue to journalism.